Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
For some 70 years, North Korea has been isolated, impoverished, and bellicose. It's been ruled by three generations of dictators who despise and fear the West. But the current leader, Kim Jong-un, has upped the ante. During the past year, Kim has launched more missiles than his father did during his 17-year reign. North Korea's nuclear threat was already high on the agenda for world leaders gathering this week in Europe. But yesterday's landmark launch of a missile that could potentially cross continents gave the issue even more urgency. The other countries with the most at stake in containing North Korea are South Korea, Japan, China, and Russia. As President Trump heads overseas now, he'll be looking for their help. Former U.S. Ambassador to South Korea, Kathleen Stevens, told us by Skype that depending on what Trump is proposing, he'll have an easier time with some countries than others.
I think President Trump will find strong allies in the mission of, if you like, containing North Korea and pressuring North Korea. Particularly, I think, from Japan and also South Korea. Both Japan and South Korea feel very much threatened by North Korea and by the path that it's on. Now, there may be some disagreement, as there has been in the past, about what the best approach to take is. So I think President Trump, if his agenda is to take stronger defensive measures against North Korea, I think he will find strong partners in Japan and also South Korea. And by defensive, I mean increased military deployments and technologies to try to slow and prevent its ability to use its growing nuclear and missile capabilities. But how each of these approaches, defensive, pressure through sanctions, and some kind of avenue to dialogue, how those are all kind of balanced out, I think is where the discussion has to take place. And I'm not sure where President Trump is on this either. You hear different things from different parts of his administration. Certainly there seems to be a recognition from President Trump at this point that the military options, while they always remain on the table, remain very, very unappetizing.
Do you think that China, even though it seems somewhat reluctant, or at least it says it's doing all it can, President Trump is suggesting it can do more, do you think it has used all the diplomatic tools that it has?
No. China provides North Korea with its oil, for example. It could stop sending oil to North Korea. That would have an immediate impact on the North Korean economy and obviously on its military readiness and options. It could basically close the border, which would create an economic crisis in North Korea.
So why would it be reluctant?
China takes a long view. China fears instability in North Korea. It sees a scenario where there's a collapse of the regime, of the Kim regime in Pyongyang, that there could be great instability on the peninsula, sending many refugees, North Korean refugees, into China. And it also fears a scenario that might result in the unification of the Korean peninsula as part of an alliance with the United States. So I think they feel they've used the usable leverage they have, but they're not willing to use their entire influence, which is enormous, because the risk of that would be a regime collapse, and they see that as not in their interest.
During this period of extreme tension now between the U.S. and North Korea, the U.S. is without an ambassador to South Korea, which seems like it could only be a deficit. Do you think it is?
Yes, I hope the Trump administration nominates a new ambassador quickly. I will say that my former colleagues from the Foreign Service are managing the embassy well, and we have a very good chargé d'affaires there. But yes, we need an ambassador.
You used to be in that role, of course. How might it affect matters if we did have one right now, even though, as you say, you're giving a tip of the hat to your colleagues who work there?
One, I think that it sends an important message to the Koreans themselves that this is a high priority for us, and they are puzzled that no ambassador has yet been nominated. But an ambassador goes as the president's representative and is therefore in a better position, particularly in a time of crisis, to reach out to all parts of the Korean establishment, as well as to the U.S. military in South Korea, which, of course, is led by a four-star army general. He provides certainly some continuity and back to Washington.
Kathleen Stevens is former U.S. ambassador to South Korea. She's now a fellow at Stanford University. Very nice to speak with you. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.